Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In Sarah Farazan's debut novel, If You Could Be Mine, she articulately weaves a tale of secret love, self-actualization, and most of all, hope for a better tomorrow. Set in current-day Iran, Farazan heart-poundingly writes about being gay in a society that punishes homosexuality and tries to fix them by offering transgender surgery, while simultaneously capturing the multitude of emotions that love infects in everyone.
Well, I guess it started with my own teen years. I'm born and raised in the States, but my parents are originally from Iran, and they came to Boston and met here. So I have a very all-American upbringing, but with a lot of Persian traditions and culture that my parents taught me to be proud of, that, you know, even if it's not necessarily the most popular place to claim ties to, considering where we're living, don't be ashamed. Like, there's such a proud history, so be yourself. The problem being is there was another part of my identity that I didn't feel like I could share with my family based on their traditional upbringing, and that was my understanding that I was gay. And this happened around puberty age. So I was very closeted for even late elementary school, fifth grade, sixth grade, till 18, and then didn't even really come to terms with it till later on in college. So it was a lot of this dual kind of life where I had just a lot going on inside that I didn't really feel like I could talk about. But then I would talk about my cultural background, no problem. I was never embarrassed. I was always very proud of who I was. You know, even after 9/11, I was in a very preppy school, and I was saying, you know, please don't get caught up in racial profiling. Whoever did this aren't truly good people, and they don't reflect Middle Eastern Americans. So, you know, that kind of thing. But then was secretly very angry and sad about my sexual orientation because I didn't feel like I could really talk to anyone about it. And so I was reading a lot. I've always been a big reader. I've always been writing, even so much so that I was writing, you know, a play in high school, and we put it on rather than doing my, you know, math homework, which probably would have benefited me to do the math homework. So I was always writing and finding expression that way and reading. And I was reading a lot of books that I could find solace in privately. So, like, you know, I could check out Annie on My Mind from the local library, and, you know, nobody needs to know about that. Like, that's a very, for me. And while those books were really transformative, the books I was reading in high school, there wasn't really anything that spoke to my experience, which is very self-indulgent, I'm sure. And I don't know how lucrative that is, but that I, you know, I felt like there wasn't a book with someone like me who was gay and whose parents were of a Eastern background, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when I was in my 20s, I was writing a lot about that time period, but I was fictionalizing things. So I have a book that's coming out from Algonquin in summer 2015, hopefully, that's more of a girl based on my experience. And that's a novel, but it's more, you know, things I'm familiar with, like prep school and New England town.
And this one is, you know, set in...
This one is not. And so this one came after, and I was in graduate school, and I was thinking what it would be like if a girl like me, you know, my parents never left, they met in Iran, they had me, let's say, what would my life sort of be like there, or someone like me there? Sahara and I are completely different. But you know, so I got to thinking about what that would be like, writing it as my graduate school thesis. And so when you write something as a thesis, and if you had told me, you know, 3 years ago that this book would be published, I would not have believed you. So it made me a lot braver in writing the story I wanted to write. And then when I got the dream call, like, oh, we are going to be publishing this book, and it's people are going to be reading it in a bunch of places where they can, I was very excited, but I was also very anxious, because while I visited Iran for the book, and I've been there a few times, and I'm very familiar with the culture, you know, I don't want to speak for Iranians. There's 70 million Iranians. You know, I don't live there every day, and I can't speak for all LGBT people. But it's a story that's important to me, because being gay in a place where you can't really 100% be yourself, and there's psychological ramifications and there's punishments, can be scary. And that's not unique to Iran. There are 76 countries in the world that have anti-gay legislation. If you're looking at what's going on in Russia now, or Uganda, so it's not just the Muslim world. It's several countries where LGBT citizens are not treated equally. And that I have a big grievance with, because I just don't think it's fair. I don't think you can talk about human rights and not talk about a section of a population because you don't agree with who they are, or who they choose to love.
That's exactly the thing. It's Sahar, who is our primary character,
mm-hmm.
and it's this loving in secret, and she wishes, sometimes she wishes she could just like boys and giggle about them with the other girls, but she does understand it's who she is, and she just wishes she were able to express it legally.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, people can have romances, you know, even straight romances, but they're very private, you know. So I understand the modesty and discretion. I have no problem with that. PDA kind of grosses me out here sometimes, even when I was a culprit of it myself, that one relationship, and then never again, because I was like, I'm grossing people out. But I do have issue with the fact that, you know, their romance in the book, for the most part, is very chaste. Like, for all this talk about sexuality, there's really no sex in it, you know. It's really this love she has for her best friend. She, in her mind, has marriage, which she knows is not a possibility, even though she tries to make it a possibility in the best way that she can. And it's more about the love, because I think people really get caught up in the sex rather than people's loving relationships and their families, which I think we need to pay more attention to. It's not like gay people are like, you know, we're just making out with everyone left and right. No, we have lives and jobs and we just want love like anyone else and are wonderful people. So
it's like that beautiful moment that Sahar tells us about when she realized that she does love her best friend, Nazreen, when Nazreen pulled her hair when they were six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that one little gesture just told her, she's the one that I wish I could marry or that I'm going to marry.
Right. And it's a powerful moment because, you know, as kids, you don't really have a sexuality anyway, like until you reach puberty. So for her, it's more like, this is the person that I envision my life with. And the reason I have Sahar's mom pass away, which I know is a common trope in YA where there's like a single parent home or a mom has died. But I did that because I needed the relationship with Nazreen to seem much more significant, because Nazreen has been probably one of her only people around. You know, her father is very despondent, depressed, and not really very active. Nice man, but just he's not himself and has not been for quite some time. And Sahar, you know, takes care of him and cooks meals and studies hard and is a good girl. But Nazreen ends up becoming her kind of whole world in a way, because she does not have this mother figure to confide in. And Nazreen sort of just becomes this ever-present person. And so the idea of just her being taken away and not being there all the time, you know, really freaks Sahar out. And not necessarily like, okay, maybe we can't be married, but we can continue this romance for as long as we can and hopefully not come to some tragic breakup. But it doesn't work. Well, I don't want to give away the book, but, you know, she's just worried about this person not being her right-hand woman anymore, I guess.
And it also brings us to another storyline within this, and that's one of transgender. I feel like people aren't as open when they talk about being gay or lesbian, and they don't necessarily think of the whole other part that could be an identity. The difference of how somebody feels trapped within their own body. And you write about this and you bring this to light in such a beautiful way.
Oh, that's really kind of you. Thank you. That's another thing I'm anxious about, because, you know, I'm cisgendered. I'm not transgendered. I'm not transsexual. And so I don't fully know what that experience is like, you know. So I've done the research, but it's still, in my mind, never going to be enough, because I think the T in the LGBTQI spectrum often does not get as much attention as it should. And what's interesting about Iran is that, you know, being transsexual, and that is to say not being transgendered. So they're transgendered people, but the government wants you to have the operation, which is hard for a lot of people.
And there's a big difference in the way that
I wanted
you
to make a
Sahar.
Huge distinction between gender identity and sexual orientation, because I think even, you know, in the West, there's a lot of confusion about those two things, which I don't, I mean, I don't know if it's lack of wanting to understand or it just scares people. I don't really know, but there's a huge difference between being comfortable in your gender and loving the same gender and feeling like you were born in the wrong body. They're two completely separate things. And I don't mind that we're in the umbrella. I think as people who are minorities, we should come together and stick together. But I think there has to be more attention to certain groups than hasn't been. I think the B also gets not a lot of love, you know, in that spectrum. But yeah, I wanted to make a big distinction because I think there's a lot of confusion, and there are people who in the country they're living in have thought, well, maybe this is an alternative to my sexual orientation based on the culture they're in. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to disappoint anyone. I want to live my life. I guess I'll have this operation. But then that's not rosy either. You know, people are met with discrimination. It might be difficult to get a job. So there's no real solution to something that doesn't need a solution. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
People should just be who they are. But unfortunately, most of the world has a problem with that.
And the way that you have the characters talk about this, that this isn't going to be a quick fix for Sahar if she mm-hmm. chooses to go through with it. And
right.
It's also about letting people know to be honest with themselves and how to embrace it mm-hmm. in a way that they're comfortable with it. Because Sahar has the cousin, Ali, and she's amazed at how, in her way of thinking, careless he is about being out.
Yeah.
And she worries for his safety, but she also wishes that she could be that free and that honest about mm-hmm. being gay.
Yeah, and I needed Ali because he's a catalyst, because Sahar is very much an introvert and Ali is not. You know, Sahar is very much a good girl. She does all the things she's supposed to do. You know, she wants to be a doctor, which is like the best job in Persian culture. And Ali, you know, is just very, although he does have some ambiguous dealings, but he's just very himself. And originally when I was thinking about the story, I was going to make it not be Sahar and Nasreen, but I was going to make it two men, because I think men have it a lot harder in a lot of countries as gay men. But I thought, I'm already out of my element with setting. I'm already taking on a lot of lofty issues. Let me relate with the one thing I understand, which is being a lesbian. But I didn't want Ali to come off as too kind of cavalier. You know, he does have thoughts and feelings about things, but I needed someone who was really going to shake up Sahar and really just own who he is,
mm-hmm.
even if he doesn't really care about the consequences.
Well, the book is so beautifully honest and well written. The name of it is If You Could Be Mine. And Sarah will be at Oblong Books September 22nd with several other authors. And we really look forward to hearing more about the novel.
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Again, the name of Sarah Farazan's novel is If You Could Be Mine. It is published by Algonquin. And you can meet Farazan Sunday, September 22nd at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York at 4 p.m., along with several other authors. For more information, you can visit their website, oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.